Welcome to the National Center for Biblical Parenting. I'm Scott Taransky, and I'm pleased to share with you this presentation made at the Phoenix Area Parenting Vision and Strategy Conference in 2008. We trust that as you listen to this session, you'll find it helpful in your growth as a parent.
We're going to go to personality styles, plus our learning styles is going to be a more effective way to reach and teach your kids. All of us have been given our children, and they're gems, precious stones. And just like if you were given a diamond or an emerald or a ruby, you could have it made into a ring, or you could have it made into a pendant, or you could have it made put in a bracelet. We could do a lot of things with those gems, with those jewels. But you can't change what it is. A diamond's a diamond, an opal's an opal. And that's what our children are. They're special gems that have been given to us, and we can't change their makeup because God created them that way, and we wouldn't really want them to change. But as parents, we need to understand them better so that we can make the most of what God has given us. My name is Nyla Rayburn, and I'm from Glendale, so I traveled a long way and got lost on the way here, and now finally am glad I'm here. I have raised two daughters, have been in education. I've been a children's pastor for the last 25 years. My husband's a senior pastor. So we've kind of been in the church world for a long time. But children are definitely what floats my boat. I mean, that's where my heart is. And so being an educator, working with kids in the ministry, I just really wanted to know the best way to reach them. So I just started to investigate them more, to figure out what's going on with kids. And I just thought, you know, sometimes there are kids I just could not stand in my classroom. From the day they walked in, it was like, can we transfer this kid? I don't like this kid. And 9 times out of 10, it was that our personalities were a clash. My girls definitely had their personalities, and when they went to school, there were teachers that they didn't get along with. Were my kids bad? No, they were good girls. But we just have to realize that sometimes even God has a sense of humor, and he gives us those personalities that we don't really get along with, and yet we have to raise them. We're going to investigate that. We're also going to investigate how we learn. But let's take a look at our personality styles first. Now, what I want you to do is if you have children or you work with children or whatever reason you're here, I want you to identify the personality style of the child you have. Now, there are all sorts of names for these things. And the first one, I use John Trent's book, The Treasure Tree, and it identifies these learning styles with animals. And because I work with kids, to me this makes just a whole bunch of sense, because a caloric in a little kid is the name's bigger than the kid. So, you know, our socializers, our fun-loving ones, these to me, these are the otters. They're the sanguines, I guess is another name for them. And they say, look at me. I want to be seen. I want to be the center of attention. Look at me. I can do it. Their strengths are they love people. They love to have fun. They interact well. They're so full of energy, oh my goodness, you can't keep up with them. And they're eager to play. Now, how can you spot them? Well, they're the kid that always wants to wear the dramatic clothing, the bright colors. They have intriguing personalities. There's something different about them. They draw attention to themselves. Their noise level is way up here. They can't do anything quietly. And they talk all the time. It's not just a little girl. There's talkers, talkers, talkers. Now, some of their weaknesses, well, they reject what's taught if it isn't presented in a fun way. They won't even listen to it. They make spontaneous decisions, which I think you can see could be a problem. And they have a very short attention span. Now, if you look at their room or their space, it's going to be very casual. It's going to be cluttered. Can they find anything? Yeah, maybe. Their drawers aren't functional. You know, everything's just stuffed in. They collect all sorts of things. And they've got a lot of junk. Well, now you've got to teach those kids with fun, with games, and with humor. And you have to be interesting. So if you have something very important, like the rules of the house or, you know, stranger danger, whatever it is that you need to really have them learn, you better put on a show to get it across because it's that important, all right? They need attention. They need approval. And the worst thing you can do for them is to ignore them. So enjoy them. They need your approval. Enjoy them. They're just going to bring many chuckles and gray hairs to your life. Now, the second one is our beaver. This is your thinker, your melancholy, and they're crying out to please understand me. If you remember the TV show or the movie The Odd Couple, Felix is a beaver. They want to do things right. They're very neat, very tidy. They notice the itty-bitty details. They're very serious, and they like things done the same way every time. When you change it up, it throws them for a loop. Anything worth doing is worth doing right in their minds. They're great teachers. They're perfectionists. Their clothing and hairstyle is perfect. Their cupboards are all neat and orderly. The soup is lined up alphabetically. And they look like they've stepped off a magazine. They're very conservative. For them, khaki and gray would be bright colors, all right? Their weaknesses are that they need to see how things are done. And therefore, they might question when they can't do it. They get bogged down in the details, you know, things that some of us don't think are important. It's like, get on with it. It doesn't matter. But to them, it does. When they lose something, they always blame the otter. It's never their fault because their life is very orderly. They make very deliberate decisions. If you need a decision now, don't ask the beaver. Their space, imagine their rooms, moms. It's heaven on earth. It's perfectly ordered. They'd have a day timer, even as a child. Their drawers are neat and orderly, and if you just throw something in, it throws them. It's got to be everything in its place. They might even lock their drawers so nobody else can mess up their stuff. We need to teach them with encouragement, with order, and predictability. Be fact-orientated, and be thorough. Now, those kids are very sensitive, so you need to be sensitive to them. You need to teach them orderly, 1, 2, 3. And if you're an otter, it's going to drive you nuts to have to convey something to them, 1, 2, 3. So we need to be sensitive to these little beavers because that's how their world is. When they are in chaos, the best thing they can do is clean because it puts everything in order. So I need one of those to live at my house. All right. The third one is the lion. He's the director or the choleric. Do it my way, right now. All right. They are obviously leaders. They're born to be leaders. They enjoy it. They're unafraid of new situations. They make decisions very quickly. They do not get bogged down in details. They're ready to take on a challenge. They're the daring ones. You know, those that jump off those things those boys do and they scare you to death. They're concerned with the function of things. They don't want any fluff. If you're telling them a story, give them the facts, just the facts. They don't want what color it was and what it felt like. And, you know, like we women like to tell about our shopping experience. They don't want to hear that. Just, I went to Dillard's. I spent $32.95 on one blouse. Done. They don't care what color it is. They don't care how many you tried on. They don't care if it took you days, hours. No. All right? They can't rest. They're very driven by different tasks. They arrive late and they leave early because they have a very full schedule. Their weaknesses are is they always want to be in charge. So if you've got two lions in your family, heads will butt. They get upset when people don't see it their way. They make very decisive decisions. They do not ask your opinion. They decide and they go. They have no respect for other people's time or their space. Now, if you looked in their room at their space, they have absolutely no frills. Even little girls who we think, oh, they're so frilly. Mm-mm. If they are of this personality style, they don't want the cutesy little dresses with the pinafores. No, just everything, no frills. They don't need new things. They're not going to be the ones out shopping to buy. They want things functional, and they don't want a bunch of extra stuff. So they're not going to be getting all the newest and latest, unless it's functional and improves what they're doing. Now, if you're going to work with them and teach them, you want to use order and control. You want to be concise. If you're giving them the rules for the family or maybe for an outing, you don't want to go into the details. We're not walking on the left. That's it. That's fine with them. They don't need to know why. They don't know, you need to know which is left. That's it. We're cut and dried. You have to be able to answer their questions. They want answers. And what do? We need to affirm their leadership. We need to appreciate them. And we need to recognize that they need to get things done. They don't want to be be putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. They want to check it off their list and go forward. All right, our last one is our golden retriever. This is the phlegmatic. Their question is, 100 years from today, what difference is it going to make? Who cares? A golden retriever will sit down and relax. And relax. And relax. They're easygoing. They listen carefully to others. They like to help other people. They're patient. They're willing to wait. They don't like others to argue. So if you have upsets in your home, your golden retrievers are going to reflect it the most because they can't stand that the arguing. They're strong team players. They'd rather not participate if it's going to cause a problem. They're the ones that if the teams aren't even, okay, I'll back out, I'll sit out, because they don't want any conflict going on. They don't see obvious faults in other people. They accept people just the way they are. They're happy anywhere. They go with the flow. And like I said, rest is their pastime. Their weaknesses are if you push them too hard, they're very stubborn. They're going to dig in their heels. We easily overlook them because they're kind of in the background. They're going to do the work, but they're not going to be up front. If they're going to make a decision, they're going to ask everybody else. And I think, ladies, we're guilty of this, even if this isn't our personality, when we go to dinner. What are you having? What are you having? What are you having? They want to make a team decision. They don't want to make it themselves. Deadlines don't affect them. They'll get it done eventually. And their motto is, why put it away? That takes too much energy. I got to get it out tomorrow anyway. If you looked at their room or their space, they don't change things easily. Once the furniture's arranged, that's the way it stays. They're basically neat. They have a lot of half-finished projects lying around. And everything is within easy reach. If you would come and look at my desk, you'd know exactly who I am. Because I have piles of everything because I want it just right there. I want to just be able to get it. I want to be able to handle it right away. They have a very steady pace. And when you're working with them, you need to use a steady pace with them. Don't rush them. Be very kind. Be very genuine. They can spot fakes. Recommend things and let them decide. Respect them. And most of all, get along, because they don't want any arguments. They value a team. Now remember, all of us have characteristics of more than one personality, but you obviously have one that is stronger, as do your children. If they're very young, you might not know it yet, but if you've got an otter, you know it. Okay, so the thinker, the beaver and the lion, they're very task-orientated. Your golden retriever and your otter, they're people. Oh, just put me with people. Your beaver and your golden retriever are rather passive. They're going to sit back and wait for somebody else to take the initiative. Whereas your lion and your otter, they're going to be up front. They're going to be taking the lead. Now, here's the thing. If you are a beaver, directly catty-corner is the otter. If you have two children, one of which is a beaver and one is an otter, you're going to have war on a daily basis. Catty corners don't mix well, all right? If you are a director, now this I find really interesting because I'm married to a director and I am a golden retriever. Opposites attract, that's all I can say, I don't know. But those aren't a good working relationship either. But because the director won't understand why the relator doesn't get going and getting it done. I think we've had a little discussion about this. But remember that the golden retriever is such a team player that they kind of mix and match with everybody. But you can kind of see that with your children, if you've got a child who's a real people person and another one that's more onto tasks, you can understand why they don't mix well. Why your people person doesn't get his or her room cleaned up or doesn't get the dishes done or whatever it is the chores are that you've given them, because they would much rather be where the people are and interacting with the people. And if you've got a golden retriever, well, why do the task? Because, you know, tomorrow we got to do it again, so why do it today? I'm not doing it twice. So anyway, it gives you a little understanding of why your kids operate the way they are. Now, I got a lot of this information from a publication called Relationship Strategies by Tony D'Alessandre, and it's a business technique, because there are a lot of people who hire people and they have no concept that, oh, I've hired all otters. Well, no wonder we don't get any projects done. So, and if you're working with a group, say you're having a play group or something at your house, it's interesting to kind of see what the mix is. Because if you have two little lions, they're going to be warring over if we're playing war or if we're going to play dolls or what's going to be happening. But then you'll understand why Mary just goes, oh, whatever, just whatever, I'll go with whatever you decide. So it just gives you some insight into what these kids, what's going on in their minds and what's going on with why they are the way they are. All right, now I hope you've identified your particular children. Right? Now we're going to go on to their learning styles. And as I talk about the learning styles, I'm going to tell you if you have a lion, you need to do this. If you have an otter, you need to do that. So that's why I wanted you to be sure that you identified. The first learning style we're going to talk about is the logical or the mathematical kids. And again, like personalities, you might have more than one learning style, but there's one that you favor the most, all right? So our logical mathematical ones, they are math inclined, okay? They like numbers. They enjoy problem solving, even if it's not math related. They enjoy patterns and numbers. They have strong reasoning skills. They ask questions in a logical manner. They're very straightforward. I think a lot of lions are this, but that's a sidebar. That's Nyla talking. They like step-by-step directions, very organized. The toys for these young kids would be puzzles and blocks. And you know those kids that go, why? 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 We all thought it was because they were three. Not necessarily, because some of them continue it. Why? Why? They're very logical and mathematical. You want to let them experiment. Help you bake a cake. Make the cookies, those kinds of things. Help them set the table, sort the clothes, organize desk drawers. They're going to be very good at that. Games that you can play with them are like Uno, checkers, chess. They love critical thinking. They see the relationships between things. A lot of these kids become our engineers, these mathematical, logical thinkers. Now, if you have a lion who is mathematical or logic, you need to explain why to them. If they know the reason, they'll go along with it. It prevents anger or one of those scenes in the grocery store. So give them choices. They make choices very, very well. And create a goal. These people are very driven. So if their goal is set here, they will go for it. All right, if you have a golden retriever that's mathematical, they need an explanation. They need a routine. They're very slow to change. They need security. And they need to know you love them. Our otters, you need to talk and play with them. If they're mathematically inclined, help their actions see that they have a consequence. They like that order, but they're impulsive. So you need to show them what will happen if you run out in the street, get hit by a car. Your beavers that are logical and mathematical, they need reasons. It needs to make sense. It needs to be consistent. We always do this math problem this way. And they need quiet time. Your beavers need time to think because they got to put it all in order. They got to categorize it up here in their brains. So just give them some space and then they'll come back. The worst thing you can do is to put a beaver that's mathematical in a chaos situation and tell them to do their homework, finish this project. That's the worst thing. They know how to do it. They know how they want to do it, but they cannot handle your otters jumping all around them and giving them a craziness. Okay? All right. Our next one is our visual or spatial learner. All right? They respond to stickers and charts, and they like to see what they've accomplished. Okay? They like to use their eyes and see they've accomplished it. If you were going to give them directions, hand them a map. Don't tell them how to get someplace. They enjoy patterns, and they need visual stimulation. They're daydreamers. They usually have a talent for art. They form mental images. You know, they kind of get lost. They understand graphic representations. They can identify these objects that are out in space and how they relate to one another. They have angle perceptions. They need to see things implemented and the consequences. A good one is like if kids are fighting over a toy and they are visual or spatial, the toy needs to go to timeout. Then the toy can be brought back. They need to actually see that happen. Allow these kids to develop their senses and their artistic abilities. Give them puzzles to solve, things they can see. Let them design their own room or a corner that's going to be theirs, because they can see how all the toys are going to fit up on the shelves, or where their dresses are going to hang, or where their shoes are going to be. Give them a camera to take pictures. They want to see. It doesn't work with them. Say, remember when we went to SeaWorld and we saw the... No, they want... Oh, yeah, remember when we went to SeaWorld. They have to see it. They don't want to try and remember. They give them paints and crayons and markers and all sorts of visual mediums to use for artwork. Pictionary is a great game for them, and so is playing cards. If you have a lion who is a visual or spatial person, show them the goal and the reward. This is where we're going. Show it to them. And this is what our reward is for getting there. So if you're doing schoolwork, we've got to learn our math facts. And this is your reward. Your golden retriever, they watch to learn. They stand back. Remember, they'll accept anybody. They stand back and they watch what other people are doing. And then they know how to do it because they've seen it. They're very quiet in a group. They do well with books. They learn from stories. Our otters, they need social circumstances, social stories. Picture and word books are very good to use with otters, so you can say what happened and they can remember. So like if you've been on vacation and you get home, an otter would do very well with you making a book together. We went here and then we did this and then we went here and we did this, and maybe put a few words underneath it. They like that. Teach them the routine you're going to follow. Because remember, they're all over. So if you know I'm going from A to B, write it down. Let them see what you're doing. They're going to watch you and how you do it. Now, if you've got a beaver, these two go well together. Your beaver loves lists. Write it down. Loves the lists. How many of you have home rules? Have you thought about ever writing them down? Your visual learner, beaver, wants to see what is it that we have to do. What are we getting accomplished this weekend? Clean the garage, mow the grass. This is the list. They want to see what it is. They want a logical plan. These beavers who are visual love schedules. 2:05, clean the house. 3:00, watch cartoons. 3:30, make dinner, whatever. They love it because they can see it, it's in order, and they can do it. Okay. Our next learner is our kinesthetic learner. These are the body people. They use their whole bodies. A lot of these kids are labeled ADD or ADHD just because the parents don't want to say, oh, I have to parent in a different way. All right. These kids move all the time. They can't sit still. They need to move. They're athletic. They're active. They enjoy creative dramatics, role-playing, dancing, expressing themselves with movement. I had an article out of Time, it's been several years ago, that our ADHD kids and our ADD kids, those dance pads, I have one that's called Praise, that's Christian music, but you know, the dance things that you hook up to your PlayStation 2, those are fantastic for kids like this. Those are the best things because they're moving, they're singing, they've got rhythm, they love those. And it also helps them learn. It helps connect those wires. Well, these kids are constantly walking, and touching. It's like, keep your hands off of it. They're the ones you got to be careful of when you take them to the store because they want to touch everything, all right? But that's because their body has to tell them what it's all about. They can't look with the eyes and see, oh, that's smooth, that's rough, that's cold, that's hot. They have to touch it. They're the little ones that get themselves in trouble when they're little because they're a hot stove. Hot means nothing to them. That means something to them. Get these kids in sports. Get them involved in acting. Give them a lot of manipulatives to move around and finagle with. Take them for bike rides. Walk with them. Hike with them. You want to know what these kids will enjoy doing with mom and dad? Walk, jog, dance, anything that's moving. Some kids you can take out for a nice little lunch, and you sit and you talk, and they love that one-on-one. One-on-one with your kinesthetic learner is moving. Ride a bike, all right? Get them up and moving. Play charades. Keep the activity to a duration of 10 to 20 minutes. For learning, spell words in the air. Put it in shaving cream. Have them spell their spelling words on sandpaper. They have to feel it. If you've got a lion that's a kinesthetic learner, they have to do it to learn it. Get them involved in learning rules. Don't just tell them the rules. Help them learn them. Movement is a great reward. If you sit here for 5 minutes and finish your math, then we're going to get up and we're going to have a song on the dance. We're going to move that way. We're going to go out and play, shoot hoops. We're going to swim in the pool. Your otter, they need to role play to teach them rules. They problem solve with role playing. They like interactive games. Interaction is a reward. We all have chores in our home. And when you have an otter that's a kinesthetic person, you need to make those chores into a game. Now, if you are a beaver, mom and dad, and you have an otter kinesthetic, you're thinking, a game? Just pick up the stupid toys. Let's get going here. You've got to make it a game. Otherwise, you're going to be beating your head against the wall, and it's only going to rise the anger in you. Well, I don't know what you're nagging about, Mom. Honestly, be creative with them. You have to think outside your box. If you've got a golden retriever that's kinesthetic, they're going to watch your body language. No, I'm not mad. They don't listen to your words. They watch your body language. You have to be very aware of that if you have a golden retriever because they're very sensitive. Okay, you've got a beaver that's a kinesthetic person. When you're teaching them to do chores, do hand over hand. In other words, you put your hands on theirs and actually help them do it till they have it down. That's the best thing you can do for them. Okay, the next one is what you men accuse all of us women of being, is the verbal or the linguistic, because we like to talk. These people also love to read. Read, write, and tell stories. That's very much. They can memorize like that. Places, dates. You know those people that can remember all those wars and the dates that they have? They can remember your name, even if you haven't seen them for a long time. And all that trivia. How do they remember that in 1965 the Beatles did the song to... They can just remember it. They just take it all in. They tell incredible, mesmerizing tales. You're sucked right in, and they just keep on going. They can repeat things back. Watch what you say, because they can repeat it back to you, word for word. And if you promise to get ice cream, they remember. Of course, most kids do, don't they? They have, as I said, strong memorization skills. Now, these kids understand different types of humor. You know, we as adults kind of use sarcasm with each other, or maybe, you know, we kind of weave it in and out. These kids pick it up. They are very sharp with the humor stuff. And they're very proficient at teaching and explaining what they're learning. So when they come home from school, they will tell you all about it. They're not just being chatty. Now, if you're going to work with them, have them repeat things back to you. Okay? The break or the timeout, depends on which where you've been, what you've learned here. The break works very effectively for these people. Allow them time to be creative. Read to these kids. Listen intently to their questions, because they have concerns and experiences, and they want you to hear it. Encourage them to tell you a story or to read a book. Maybe share something that they've written. Provide things so that they can go to the library, to bookstores. They love those things. Good games for these kids are Scrabble, Yahtzee, and Boggle. They do well on the spelling bees. I might fit part into this, but I didn't do so well on the spelling bees. They like creative writing. They want to use their imagination. They like pencil and paper tasks. They're very comfortable with paper and pencil. Now, if you were going to give them directions to your house, write them down. Don't hand them a map. Write them down and give them those directions. They usually turn out to be your teachers and your public speakers. If they are a lion, and you're working with a visual, don't be critical, be specific, and don't use "you always," because they'll tell you exactly when it wasn't always. Talk about choices with them and have the kids repeat the choices back to you. All right. Your golden retriever, they'll do what you say. So be very consistent. They remember forever. These verbal kids, if you said it, it's in concrete. And if you need to calm them down, use humor, because they understand that. Don't raise your voice. Don't start getting critical of them. Just start using some humor. Wasn't that the silliest thing you ever saw your mother do? They get it, and it calms them down. They get frustrated with change. So if you start something in one way and you have to change it, they need lots of prep time. Okay, their verbal interaction is a reward for the otter. They love to talk and they love recess. With these kids, you need the stop and think method, because remember, they make everything in quick decisions. So you need to say, okay, we're going to stop and we're going to think. We're going to walk through this, okay? Now, is this a good choice or a bad choice? They like all that stuff. A thing that they will cherish is time with mom and or dad. They love that. Your beavers, they need quiet time and then talk. Don't give them a bunch of information and say, well, what do you think about that? Give them time to process. They need to calm down and organize things. And they want to communicate. They want to be very logical. Our next one is the ones that are musical and rhythmic. They enjoy music. They learn by little songs. They're the ones that learn the ABCs. A, B, C, D. They needed that. I had a daughter that learned beautifully spelling words to this, you know, C, A, T, C, A, T. That is cat. That is cat. She could sing every advertisement that was on the television. Knew it all. These kids love instruments. They love the structure of music. They are great at keeping time. They can take the abstract and turn it into concrete. Now, here, parents, your voice tone is very important. They pick up on it. No, I'm not mad. Your words mean nothing. Your voice tone means everything. So a reward for them is let them pick a CD out at the music store. Have them clap and sing along to music. Give them music lessons. Go to concerts. Go to musicals. Lions, say the goal for the lion is to clean their room. Then put on a song. By the time the song's done, the room is going to be clean. Or maybe pound out a rhythm as they're picking up the blocks. If you want to go faster, you make the rhythm go faster. If you can afford to slow down, you slow down. Our otters who are musical, give them songs as a reward. Whether that be a CD or whether you develop a song together. Your golden retrievers, they're the ones that are sensitive to the tone of your voice, so be sensitive. Another thing, golden retrievers are very sensitive that are musical to how loud you have things, the volume of things. So you might think the TV isn't loud or the music isn't loud, but to the golden retriever, it might be just way over the top. Our beavers, use your rules, teach it by a song. I mean, we all know the cleanup song, and that's outstanding. But have songs for your routine. Get up, brush your teeth. You know, whatever. Does it make any difference if it's a different song each time? No. Those musical toothbrushes, phenomenal for beaver musicals. They will brush till the music's done. So that's a good reward for them. Okay, the next two are interpersonal, and the next one will be intra, the difference between the ER and the RA. Interpersonal people are social. Oh my goodness, can you imagine an otter interpersonal? They would be with people 90%, 99% of the time. They can read the feelings and behaviors of others. They're excellent leaders. They are effective with verbal and nonverbal communication. They're very sensitive to other people's moods and temperaments. They can discern that underlying motive. You know the little manipulators? They discern what's going on underneath. They know exactly what's going on. They understand other people because they love people and they want to be with them so much. And they're very patient and understanding. A lot of times these are called a peacemaker. You want to stay calm with them. You want to watch your body language. You want to play family games together. They love that. Encourage them to participate in group activities, discussions and problem solvings. Now, here's one challenge. Because they love people, they have lots of friends. And some of them might not be the friends that you would choose, but you have to be accepting of them and of who they choose. Not their actions necessarily, but of the people themselves. Because these interpersonal people see good in everyone. Ooh, little Christ-like right there. But they see the good. And if you start bad-mouthing one of their friends, they're going to tune you out right away. So we have to be careful with that. They're very chatty also. Lions, we need to prompt consequences with these interpersonals. The worst thing you can say is wait till your dad gets home. They need it right then. They need their consequences. We need to watch our body language. It's very difficult for them to say, okay, at the end of the week, you don't get to go pick out a video game because you were X on Monday. That long thing just kills them. Just kills them. It just wounds their little hearts. Your golden retriever, you want to keep them secure and stay calm. Your otters who are interpersonal, feedback is a reward. Like, I feel happy when you pick up your toys. I feel sad when you don't listen to mommy. Those things they understand. Positive praise helps these otters a lot. You want lots of positive praise for all our children, but these little otters. Your beavers, they see your emotions. You need to explain to them your emotions. Why are you laughing hysterically, Mom? Why are you crying? Why are you mad? What's going on? Have them explain it then back to you. And then you want to give these beavers a logical explanation. I'm crying. You know, women, I'm crying because I'm just emotional. For a beaver, just does not make sense. I'm crying because somebody hit me. I'm crying because somebody bit me. Those things they understand. Okay. The next one is the intra, and these people want to be working independently. Your computer geeks are probably intrapersonal. They like to be alone. They're very strong-willed and silent. They understand their own feelings, their emotions, their moods. So we need to give these people their own space. They need time to play alone and work alone, but we also need to encourage them to be with others, because if they had their choice, they would be loners all the time. Encourage them to keep a journal or a diary. They like those kinds of things. Allow them to maintain their own space. They like computers. They like reading. They're probably going to be computer programmers when they grow up. I do not think there is a lion intrapersonal, because a lion is always directing others, just like I don't think there's an otter intrapersonal. But definitely a golden retriever, they need time to process things. They need to talk through their emotions. They need help expressing their feelings. They'll be the ones that go, well, I just feel, and they don't know what they feel. You need to help them with that language. Okay? The beaver, they again need quiet time to think. The beaver, you need to remain calm with them. You need to show them that everything is okay, that it's they're not going to dissolve if things aren't going right. Intrapersonal people are hard to get to know because they really don't want to be with you. But also, if you have a child that way, they need your encouragement to accept others. Because in our world today, what are we becoming? With all the tech we have, we're becoming isolationists. Intrapersonal kids will fit that bill wonderfully. But your otters, no matter what category they fit in, drives them crazy. So we need to encourage those kids. All right, now you've listed Johnny, Susie, Billy, whoever all your wonderful children are. You've got their personality style down. Now, interpersonal and intrapersonal, I think you can almost tell now no matter if you've got little ones or, you know, older ones, whether they're one or the other. Okay, so give them inter, but then broaden it. Are they visual? Are they kinesthetic? What are they? How are they learning? So then you have better ways of teaching, of reaching, of touching these children. Instead of always yelling at them because you came from an Italian family and you always had loud talking, some of your children can't handle that. If you came from a very quiet home and nothing was exciting, and you have an odder child, you aren't going to get along. Get out of yourself a little bit. The challenge is you are the grown-up. We don't expect our children to change for us. We have to change to reach them.
Well, we hope you found this presentation helpful. This is Scott Taransky for the National Center for Biblical Parenting. Be sure to visit us on our website at biblicalparenting.org for more resources. While there, you can also sign up for free email parenting tips that come into your inbox a couple times a week. May God richly bless you and your family.